Well, welcome to church. Good to have you guys in the room. For those of you online in some awesome vacation spots over spring break, we welcome you as well. But there's nothing like being here in the house, is it? Woo! And being live in worship and together, good to be with you. Man, I've never preached in the smell of burgers before, so this could be a little bit challenging as moving into the room. But it's a foretaste of the feast to come. It's going to be awesome. Good to be together. You know, Easter has all kind of traditions, and maybe in your household you have some traditions as well. This is what it looked like in ours, and it's been a few years back. If you couldn't guess, I'm the cute one on the right. That was the one time they could find a picture. I asked my sister, my older sister Lynn, to send me the picture. That's the only one she could find that I'm not crying by having to wear a suit. I still cry when I have to wear a suit. But you know, we have all kind of Easter traditions. For us, we're getting ready for church. That was in mission school. My dad, who's a pastor, was in mission school in those days, headed to South America. And we were being trained up there, our kids, this whole household on mission together. But you know, we didn't have Easter without our Easter baskets because we had already had them filled with candy and all kinds of fun stuff. That was part of our tradition. So, you know, what it says for me, you know, I was 3 years old in that picture. I've had the privilege of knowing Jesus a long time. And the privilege of knowing Jesus a long time and being part of a family on mission that I've had a few reps, so to speak, of what it's like to exercise that faith. What it's like to depend on this resurrected Jesus in times that I essentially needed him in my life. Now, some of you, your Easter traditions are much different than what that looks like. And some for some of you, you haven't had Easter traditions at all. You know, it didn't mean anything to you. You might be here for the first time in church, and this is the start of some Easter tradition and what that looks like and what it feels like. Maybe it's the first time for you, or you're just starting to trust Christ with your life, and you haven't had many reps yet. You're not really sure how that faith is operating and when it's His wisdom and His thoughts coming into your heart and your soul, or when you can trust Him in the midst of difficult circumstances. You're just not quite sure. Today, we want to talk about that. And I can assure you, as you take the next steps, from today to next week to the week after, we're going to be here holding your hand. We're going to help you. We're going to walk with you. We're going to help you get the reps in to have you stand fast in the arms of Jesus, no matter what's happening, what's going on in your life. Because today matters. Christ is risen. You know, if Christ hadn't risen from the grave, you and I wouldn't be here today. We're doing something else, cooking out some other place. But because Christ rose from the dead, there's churches like this one, millions of them all over the world proclaiming Christ today. And they've been going on for over 2,000 years. There's not a business industry anywhere that's been going on that long. Because Christ has risen from the grave, no matter what you see going on in your world, when it looks like everything's going to crazy, there's redemption possible. Jesus has carved out a way for people to come to Him and to be saved. That what we see with our eyes, we hear on the news, is not the last story, because Christ has been raised. And no matter when you and I reach a difficult time in our lives, whatever tragedy, whatever brokenness, and all of us will come to the point we'll breathe our last earthly breath, that this life is not the end. It matters. Christ has been raised, and we proclaim it. You know, Christians disagree on lots of things in lots of different churches, in different places, in different cultures. But one thing we all agree on is Christ lived, He was crucified, He died for our sins, and He rose from the grave. Amen? Amen. That's we all know and we understand. Today, Easter is the heart of the Christian faith. If you're wondering today, what's it all about? You're going to hear today, what's it all about? And this is what we believe. You know, for every one of us in the room, we need something more than shallow assurances in our lives. When we're dealing with stuff and walking through stuff, we need some absolutes. We need some truth. We need something we can stand on. I know for Marilyn and me, when 33 years ago, this past week, Stephen was born, and he was very small, 10 weeks early. and the doctors were coming in going, we don't think he's going to make it. Call your family. So we had our family, our parents came, we were a young couple, and in those days, still young. And it's a difficult time, and some of you have felt that, and some of you have experienced that. I've walked with you in the midst of those hard times with your kids. And we don't know what's going to happen. We're on our knees, and we're praying, and people are consoling and say it's going to be okay. But what we needed more than anything was that God had us. What we needed more than what anybody else said was the truth that no matter what happened to our child, God had him and God had us. Because I had a few reps to know and see and trust that this is not a shallow truth. There's a realness to it. And we needed to stand in that faith. Now, if any of you know Stephen, he's alive and well. He ended up winning the state championship in cross country and track in his senior year. He can move and he can run and he can operate. God is amazing and God is good. But there's more. Just during COVID, my father's been a pastor all his life. He's in our home with my mom. They were on their last days, stayed with us 2 years. In a bed in our home, he was taking his last breaths, and we're walking with him. We're standing beside his bedside. We're singing songs, and we're praying together, and we're having an opportunity to say, thank you, Dad, for teaching me about Jesus. Thank you, Dad, for letting me know something is more out there than just what we see with our eyes. And we would pray together, and I could sit by his bedside, and you know, Dad, because we know Jesus, we're going to see each other again. That's when we need to know there's something concrete. There's something more than saying goodbyes. There's something greater to give us a strength when we don't know how we're going to make the next moment that matters. That's Easter. That's what matters. As Meryl and I have walked in this church and helping lead this church for 30 years, there's been many times from the first doors we knocked on to meeting in the school to building buildings to doing mission on four continents and different churches all over the place by which we've gotten on our knees and we've cried out to God and we're saying, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to make it through this. I don't know how the pieces of this picture are going to come together. And we're going, God, please help us. And there are many that come along and have this spiritual get to face saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. But what we needed to know was something more. What we needed to know, that God loves his church more than we can think or imagine. That God cares for what's going on in this place and in your life and the life of his people than we can even perceive. So there's no doubt that he's got it. Then no matter what it looks like in the moment, it all belongs to him. Because he created it, and he saved this church and you, the whole church, all over the world. And he will come again to bring all his people to him. That's today. That is Easter. And that's why we stand in the room, and that's why we celebrate for what he has done. Amen, church? It's incredible. You know, when you're wondering, where is the life coming from? When you're wondering what to say to somebody else in the midst of a difficult time, we can say, I don't have words. When Jesus was teaching on the face of the earth, there were many who walked away. Because, you know, in this world, there's many walking away from Jesus. He was teaching about difficult things. He was sharing about communion, what we took here this morning. And he's sharing, you know, if you come and you receive this gift of bread and cup, it is my body and my blood shed for you for forgiveness of your sins. People are going, you're crazy. I believe in this. When Jesus is telling people and he's teaching his disciples, he's saying, you know, this temple, this body is going to die. And it's going to go into the grave, but after 3 days, this body's going to rise again. And the world was saying, you're crazy. Not going to happen. And they walked away. And Jesus looks at the people and he says, are you leaving me too? He's looking at these who's followed him. For 3 years they've been following him. Are you going to leave me too? And this is what Simon Peter takes a deep breath and he says. John 6:68. Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom do we go? You have the words that give what? Eternal life. We believe and we know you are the Holy One of God. Every one of us in the room have to hold on to that truth. There's a lot of words you and I can give, but there's one, Jesus Christ, who has the words of eternal life. Jesus said, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you may have what? Life, and have it to the full. That's the truth. When Pilate was questioning Jesus before the crucifixion, and he brings him in, he says, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this world. But what I have come, I've got a purpose. And why I've come is to bring the truth. And Pilate asked him, well, what is truth? Because see, many times we're sitting here looking at truth from our own perspective. And what we get in the resurrection is a look behind the curtain. We get to see that there's more that meets our eye. There's more that meets our minds that we can understand. That God has more for you and me than we can think or imagine. And when we come and we experience God, we will find a freedom you have never understood. You will discover a purpose for your life and my life that will last eternally till we're sitting with Jesus in heaven. Amen? That's this day. That's Easter. And that's what it looks like. So here's the story. One of them is recorded in Mark. It's also in Matthew and Luke and John. In Mark chapter 16, here's the version Mark writes, beginning with verse 1. It says, Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased the burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? I think they probably should have thought about that before they went. But as they arrived, they looked up and they saw the stone, which was very large, by the way, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and the women were shocked. But the angel said, do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, there is where he lay, his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died. The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. Now, there's several things. I put these notes in your outline, in your study notes for the week. I want to encourage you to pull those out with your family. It might be a great Easter evening opportunity to dive in a little bit deeper and discover these truths for yourself. Here are these women. It was Passover time, as we knew, going through Thursday and Friday, Holy Thursday and Good Friday, that they couldn't buy anything until after dark on Saturday night because the law said you can't go, the stores are closed. So after the evening hours, after the sunset on Saturday evening, the stores would open back up. They could go and actually purchase the spices. They held those through the night, and they would show up early on this Sunday morning to go and anoint a living Jesus? I don't think so. They're going to anoint a dead body. Think about that for a moment. They had walked with Jesus. They had seen his miracles. They had watched him teach. They saw people included from every walk of life that was not true in the Roman Empire. And there's all these crowds following Jesus, and yet they're coming to anoint a dead body. There were so many obstacles they would have to come through. So one thing I want you to hold on to when it comes to the resurrection, expect more of Jesus. Okay? Just expect more of Jesus. The world teaches us to expect very little from God. Even though God created everything, the world kind of presses in on you. You know, if you got real problems, you better take care of them yourself. Right? If you really want more knowledge, you need more education. Education's great, but Jesus says, if you want wisdom, seek it from above. See, the world keeps teaching us. You got problems, gather more friends around you. Need a better job, go apply more. It doesn't teach you to expect from Jesus. It doesn't teach you to get on your knees and pray and say, God, come together, move in my life. When people give their lives to Jesus Christ, anything is possible. So the first thing these women have to learn is I got to learn to expect more. I let the world tell me that Jesus is dead, even though he told me he was going to be alive. How many times is the world telling you Jesus can't get you there? Jesus can't help you with that. Think again. Expect more from Jesus. He's there moving powerfully in the midst of the world. Second is this. Don't just be an observer. The door is open for a reason. Okay? Don't just be an observer. The door is open for a reason. What if these Marys showed up, they got to the tomb, the guard wasn't there, and they look at it and go, well, he must have escaped. Somebody must have stolen his body. You see, what was going on is the Roman guards put, the Roman Empire put guards by the tomb because they were afraid somebody might steal the body. And they would claim something else. Another version reads, the angel shows up and the guards fell down like dead men. Now, we don't know in this story from Mark where the guards went. But we know that these women showed up and there were no guards. There was a tomb and a stone rolled back. And they looked in. And when they looked in, they saw something different than what they thought. Hear that, church. They saw something different than what they thought. Now, don't you think Jesus is powerful enough to go through that stone tomb? I mean, Jesus didn't need a stone rolled back. I mean, after all, a little bit later in the afternoon on Sunday, we'll see that passage in a minute, he shows up in the room when the doors are locked. This tomb is open for us to look in. So what we want to do is look. Because if we look in to an open tomb, you might just get a message from an angel. And that message from the angel will be the message that you need. See, what did these women need? They needed to know, the message they got was, Jesus is alive just as he told you. Because they were grieving. They were like, wait a minute, we thought Jesus was going to lie, but he didn't. The rulers defeated him. No, they can't. They were thinking, all this we put our hopes in are gone. No, it isn't. Everything we had faith to believe is not true. Yes, it is true. They received the message that the angel needed for them to have. What is that message today that you are doubting about your expectation of God, that you need the angel promise directly to you? Third is this. Hear and see what God wants you to know. Hear and see what God wants you to know. There's a message. The angel said to them, don't be shocked. You know, sometimes we're shocked. Wait a minute. God did come through. He's saying to the angel, don't be shocked. Don't be frightened. I mean, he actually did what he said he was going to do. Don't be frightened. God's going to give you peace because he promised you peace. Don't be frightened. He's going to take your burdens and he's going to make them light because he said he would. Don't be afraid. Just hear the message that God has for you. You know, Proverbs 3. It's a wisdom passage in the Old Testament. It says this. I think it means a lot to us on this day. Proverbs 3:5 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And I love verse 7. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Expect more. Sometimes we can think we got it all figured out. Listen, I don't, and neither do you. It's an answer that Jesus has for you when you seek him and you start looking in some tombs that are open. He has an angel. The angel's right in the middle of evangelism that means messenger of God. He's got something he wants to say to your situation. I know for me, as I've walked with people through the years and I engage with someone going through a difficult medical diagnosis, I've sat by the bedside of many who know that they only have a week, a month, maybe a year, and this body's decaying. And I sit with them and I'm amazed at the peace that God is filling them with for the purpose, the new purpose that has emerged in their life in that time. And as they begin to pour out their life to Christ more, an angel gives me a message. Craig, did I not tell you that in the midst of the most difficult times, I will give you a peace that passes all human understanding? Did I not say that I am the Prince of Peace and I will show you in those times? Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't be shocked at what I'm experiencing in these people. When I walk in the tomb of someone's addiction, and let me tell you, we're all addicted to sin, but some addictions are ravishing lives out there. Sexual addictions, drug addictions, alcohol addictions, all kinds of things. Being on the phone addictions. And I walk into a room of people, and I see a one-month chip. I see a two-month chip. I see a five-year chip. I see a 20-year chip. I see a 30-year chip. And I'm going, whoa, what God is doing. And an angel speaks, Craig, did I not tell you that there is no temptation that cannot be overcome if you give me your life, and that I will not show you a way out? And I'm sitting in a room of people who said, I submit. I am no longer powerful. You are powerful, and I come under your command. Why should I be shocked? It's a message from an angel. When I sit and talk with somebody who's in the tomb of hopelessness, maybe you've been there, lost a job, I don't know how I'm going to provide my family, struggles and hardships that just get so overwhelming, I can't think of a way out. Struggles in relationships where the last thing we can think about is it possible? And I see them get on their knees and say, God, I can't solve this. I can't even understand this. God, I don't know which thing to do next. And they give their life to Christ. And then an order begins to happen. They begin to say, Pastor Craig, a door opened. I have an opportunity. I see an order begin to come back in my life. I feel a hopefulness coming. And an angel gives me a message. Pastor Craig, did I not remind you? The only Beatitudes, that anyone who submits to Christ, they are the children of God, and they get the inheritance of the kingdom. Okay. When I'm standing with someone and praying with someone who's just filled with shame, and shame is so evident in our culture right now, struggle by which we experience or we do things that begin to hurt other people. It gets exposed on the internet and websites, and we can't show our face to other people. I can't even show my face to my wife or my husband. I don't know how I'm ever going to get a job. I don't know how anybody's ever going to forgive me. You know, how am I going to live with this? Well, how does life start over from that kind of shame? And then an angel speaks. Did Jesus not say that if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just, and He'll forgive you and cleanse you from everything not right within you? Did I not say that? Did Paul not remind us in the Word that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Did Jesus not say, I didn't come to condemn the world, but I came to save the world? There you go. You're in a tomb, and there's a message from the angel reminding you exactly what he said. You want to know what those are? Just go on a Google search and type in the promises of God, and you'll be amazed at all He has for you. That's Easter. It's the message of the angel reminding you, you are not alone. The last one I want you to hold on to that I see in this passage is speaking life matters. That angel speaking life into those women, you don't think it didn't matter? It mattered hugely. Speaking life into other tombs matters because it feels closed up and bottled up and without hope. speaking life matters. In fact, the angels said to these women, I want you to go, and I want you to go to the disciples and to Peter. Yes, and to Peter, because Peter was the one who was most shamed. Peter's the one that right in front of Jesus denied him three times. Peter's already thinking, I'm glad I don't have to see him again. But he is going to see him again. And the angel said, I want you especially to go to him, because there's nobody that's outside of my love, not even Peter. And I don't care what you've done or where you've been, the resurrection says, you got a place in my house, and I'm coming to you. So they go. Now, the word says they didn't speak to anyone along the way. I think it takes a lot to get your head around it. And they just, how do I process all this information from the angel? How do I even understand it? But we know they told them. In fact, other versions read, they went to the apostles and they told them about it. And like typical men, they didn't believe the women. So men straightened up. These women got something to say. They had to go find out for themselves, but they did come to believe. It changed their lives, and it will change yours, and it'll change the person that you speak to. You see, God is a going God. He went from heaven to earth, and he's moving into the hearts of his people right here in this church and in churches all over the land today. Listen what he did for the disciples on Sunday afternoon. Today, in the afternoon, in chapter 20, verse 19 of John, it says this. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors. Hear that, locked doors. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They were thinking, we're going to be crucified next. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. There wasn't a knock on the door. There was nobody unlocking it. Here they are, whoa, a ghost in the room. And he speaks to them, peace be with you. In other words, hey guys, pick yourself up off the floor. It's me. And he speaks to them, he shows them the wounds in his hand and in his side. It's the resurrection body. Did I not tell you of this? And then they were filled with joy and they saw the Lord. It says they saw him now. Before it was just a ghost, they saw him. Again, he said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And hear this, really important. Then he breathed on them, receive the Holy Spirit, the breath of life. It's like God breathing into Adam before he had life. See, Jesus is life. Without him, we're nothing. From this life to the next, even being born in this life. When we get in those tombs of life, he speaks life. And he wants to speak it into you today. See, you didn't come to Easter for a concert. You didn't even come to Easter just to stand and sing songs of worship or even eat hamburgers. You came to experience God. And to experience God means that he wants to intersect your life. To experience him means that you and he are going to talk, and you and he are going to walk, and you and he are going to be on mission together. And right now, he wants to speak to your heart. He is in this room, and he's knocking. How do you know? Because your heart's racing a little bit more right now. I've been where you are, and I feel it a little bit right now. I've been in conferences. I've been in places. I've known the Lord all my life, and I've been in places by which the Lord is knocking. He says, Craig, I got more for you. I want you to experience me. I want you to expect more than you have before. You're operating in your human experience. I want you to understand more of my grace and more of my mercy. I want the power of the Spirit to enter into you, and I'm knocking on that door. How do you know? Because you're starting to breathe a little bit faster. That's how you know it's Jesus. And you do not want to miss that moment. There's some of you in the room today that you've walked with him a long time, but it's still you and him. It hasn't become a we yet. He hadn't moved into your life and being the strength of your life. He hasn't come in and convinced you yet that with Him, all things are possible. But I know what He wants to do. He wants to breathe the fresh spirit into you. Because that's what He did with the disciples. They've been following Him. They were already Christian. But they were still lost. And God had to give them the Spirit. Maybe you're in that place today. Don't leave this room without the full experience of God. I want to invite the worship team to come up, and they're going to lead us in a song. And during that time, I want to encourage you to listen to His voice. Let your heart race a little bit. And if He's knocking on the door of your heart for more today, I do not want you to be afraid. I do not want you to be ashamed. The safest place for any person is to stay in the crowd. But the miracle happens when you step into an open door. And what I'm doing right now is giving you an open door. And that means we get out of our seat and we come forward. And if the Lord Jesus gives us a big spiritual mosh pit up front singing, hallelujah, right? Just come. Because I want to pray over you for the power of the Spirit. That we don't just come observing Easter. We come in the midst of it. So let's stand.